Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. So good to be with you as we look at Ezekiel 26. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Day by day, you have been walking with us as we have been in your word. Speak to us now through Ezekiel 26, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ezekiel 26, the words from Ezekiel turn now to the kingdom of Tyre. In the 11th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, because Tyre said concerning Jerusalem, Aha, the gate of the people is broken. It has swung open to me. I shall be replenished now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. They shall destroy the walls of Tyre and make her and break down her towers, and I will scrape her soil from her and make her a bare rock. She shall be in the midst of the sea a place for the spreading of nets. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she shall become plunder for the nations, and her daughters on the mainland shall be killed by the sword. Then they will know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots and with horsemen and a host of many soldiers. He will kill with the sword your daughters on the mainland. He will set up a siege wall against you and throw up a mound against you and make and raise a roof of shields against you. He will direct the shock of his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. His horses will be so many that their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen and the wagons and chariots when he enters your gates as men enter a city that has been breached. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with the sword, and your mighty pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches and loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. Your stones and timber and soil they will cast into the midst of the waters, and I will stop the music of your songs, and the sound of your lyres shall be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock. You shall be a place for the spreading of nets. You shall never be rebuilt, for I am the Lord. I have spoken. Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, Will not the coastlands shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan, when slaughter is in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will step down from their thrones and remove their robes and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground and tremble every moment and be appalled at you. And they will raise a lamentation over you and say, How you have perished, you who were inhabited from the seas, O city renowned, who was mighty on the sea. She and her inhabitants imposed their terror on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall, and the coastlands that are on the sea are dismayed at your passing. For thus says the Lord God, When I make you a city laid waste, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you, and the great waters cover you, then I will make you go down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you to dwell in the world below, among ruins from of old, with those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited. I will set beauty in the land of the living. I will bring you to a dreadful end, and you shall be no more. Though you be sought for, you will never be found again, declares the Lord. That is Ezekiel 26 and this prophecy against Tyre. And just to remind ourselves from our map that we looked at yesterday, Tyre, if you look in that northwestern corner, it says Phoenician states. And you'll see that the city of Tyre is there just above the word Phoenician, we have a phonetic alphabet. Kids, when they learn to read, study phonics. And that is the great contribution to the history of the world that comes from Phoenicia. Before the Phoenicians, everybody had sort of pictogram alphabets. They had writing systems that were based upon pictures. And then the pictures kind of evolved into letters, but the letters didn't necessarily associate with a sound. They associated with an idea. Well, the Phoenicians, they were phenomenal international traders. Being on the coastland of the east coast of the Mediterranean, they sailed all around the Mediterranean. Remember Jonah and Nineveh, I mentioned him yesterday. When he was fleeing and wanting to go away from, he got a ship to head to Tarshish, which is clear in the other direction. Well, it was a Phoenician ship that he got on, and he wanted to go as far away as he could to present-day Spain, basically, instead of going to Nineveh in the Assyrian Empire, which you can see on the top of this map. So the Phoenicians were the greatest traders around the Mediterranean, and as such, they had great power over many kingdoms and civilizations that were dependent upon them for their trade, and they would make themselves very wealthy, and they would exert pressure upon those around. But the Phoenicians also played a role in the building of the temple, in transporting the timbers that were used for building the temple and getting some of the goods down to Jerusalem. So they were key in the history of God's people in many ways, but they have now seen for themselves an opportunity to get rich off of the disaster that's coming to Jerusalem. And that is a particularly disgusting sin, to look at the disaster of God's people and say, I shall be replenished now that she is laid waste. And so this is a very long section. We're going to be in this again, 27 and 28, focused on Tyre. Why such attention to Tyre? We got just barely a passing mention for like Edom and Philistia, which had long been enemies of God's people. Tyre had been kind of an ally. But when the Babylonians came, Tyre and Egypt together were ones who could have united to withstand the rising Babylonian power, because Tyre was very strong. But Tyre was always looking to play the angles, always looking to say, what's in it for me? And so they didn't put up a resistance, they didn't defend, they didn't make an alliance against. Well, now Nebuchadnezzar is coming, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to overthrow Tyre. And this prophecy is going to be fulfilled very exactly. Now, some critics have said that the prophecy against Tyre is actually an unfulfilled prophecy. It's actually an example in the Bible of God not keeping his word, because Nebuchadnezzar came up against Tyre, and he did conquer it, he did subdue it, but he didn't destroy it completely. And this prophecy seems on the surface of it to say, well, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and he's going to completely destroy it, because there's talk about Nebuchadnezzar coming and plundering and breaking down your walls. And then in verse 14, I will make you a bare rock. You shall be a place for the spreading of nets. You shall never be rebuilt, for I am the Lord. And so it looks on the surface of it like that's what Nebuchadnezzar is supposed to accomplish. But the way prophecy works, there's always, I've talked about this before, there's always a collapsed horizon. So there's a vision of what's coming, but there's not often separation between things that are going to happen immediately and things that will happen in the more distant future and things that might not even happen until the second coming of the Lord. One can quickly follow right upon the other, like it's all happening at the same time, when in reality there is separation between them. And so there are two major conquests of Tyre. There is the conquest of Tyre by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who's mentioned here. He does come against it with many horses. He does subdue it. But It's later when Alexander the Great completely conquered it that it becomes a bare rock and a place for the spreading of nets. There's really two parts to Tyre. There's a part of Tyre that is on the land, on the main continent, and then there's an outpost, and there's a causeway. There's a causeway that Alexander the Great built that was about 800 meters or 2,600 feet long to get out there and to march his army out there. And that part was just so completely destroyed that it was even forgotten that it was there. And so God does exactly keep his word. But he doesn't do it in the way that we expect necessarily, and in the timing that we expect. He does everything he says, but then he says, I'm going to stop the music of your songs. The sound of lyres will be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock. That's later. So that's later. Even your stones and timber and soil, they'll cast in the midst of the sea. That's later. So it shifts from he to they. If you look at it from verse 11 to verse 12, it switches from he to they. And that could be the hint that we're moving on to someone else. But it's also talked about that it's many nations that are going to destroy Tyre. And so that is another indication that this is not simply and only a reference to Alexander the Great, but soldiers from many nations represents really not Nebuchadnezzar, but Alexander the Great, who comes later. So what do we get from this? Well, we get from this that wealth, right, is no insurance against judgment from God. In fact, wealth comes with accountability. At one point in time, Tyre used its wealth to benefit the people of God, to build the temple. But then, what? Well, they started to get so selfish that they only cared what's in it for them, and they didn't put economic pressure on Babylon as they could have, and they didn't protect the people of God as they could have. Instead, they were only looking to get themselves rich, however they could, even getting rich off of the destruction of God's people. So money is a gift from God, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money to be received and used for the glory of God can have great powerful impact for the kingdom in under God's sovereignty when submitted to his will. But wealth that becomes an object in and of itself through the love of money becomes a snare. And so I think with Tyre being so wealthy and so influential, those of us who live in America, we live in the economic superpower of the world. China's rising, of course, but America is still the largest, most robust, most productive, and wealthiest nation in the world. But if we're always led to do what we do for the sake of the economy and for the sake of money, and we don't stand on principle, we don't establish justice, that's a path to downfall. And I see even more and more Christians going along with this idea of, oh, it's about the economy, it's about inflation, it's about jobs, it's about trade, it's about manufacturing. Okay, those things were important, but what about justice? What about righteousness? What about upholding human rights? What about protecting liberty? So it's a warning to us as individuals to not allow the love of money to put its nasty roots into our lives, because it will be the root of all kinds of evil, but also to us as a culture and civilization to not always think that everything has to be driven by the economy, by our pocketbooks. There are other very important issues to consider. So for the church, you see this with churches too. Churches will do often make decisions about what to do and how to do it and which way to do it, really based upon how do we get more people to come in, how do we get people who are here to give more money. You do need money to run a church and to fund the ministries and to send out missionaries, but the church should be the last place where everything is driven by money. So So of all the things we could take from Ezekiel 26, we do see God's sovereignty over human history. Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, two of the greatest rulers in the history of the world, but they were instruments in God's hand to accomplish his purposes against Tyre. Hundreds of years apart, but God keeps his word. And then we have a warning not to allow money to become too important, because it will surely lead to a downfall. God is God, money is not. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great goodness and for your great sovereignty. You're the one who's in control of all nations, all kingdoms. You order things according to your sovereign will. There's no one big and strong enough that they can thwart your purposes or undermine your promises to your people. Help us to trust in you and not in our wealth. Help us to pursue you and your kingdom and your purposes and your values and your truth, not wealth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, that's Ezekiel 26. Tomorrow we're going back to Revelation to wrap up the wonderful end of the book of Revelation in chapter 22. I hope you'll join me for that. It's such a powerful, encouraging, challenging, uplifting chapter. Looking forward to that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.